Hi, my name is Army, and welcome to Gaper's podcast. Today we have Valerie from Robert Half here. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Valerie. What about you?
I'm good.
So tell our audience a little about where you work and the industry you work in.
So I am in knee deep in the recruiting industry. I work for Robert Half, which was the first recruiting agency in the US. And so this year has been more challenging than all the other years, but definitely love the fast paced environment and meeting new people every day and helping them achieve their career goals and get them into a spot where they are happier within their career.
Interesting. So how did you come about working for a recruiting agency?
So, you know, I started my career in retail and I love the fast-paced environment, but not so much the schedule. I'm not a night person. And so working, you know, those late nights and then early mornings the next day just wasn't working for me. It's not fun if you enjoy sleep. I found my way into the recruiting space, and I love that it has that fast-paced environment. I'm still talking to a lot of new people every day. And it's never something that I would have expected for myself. When you choose your degree in college, it's my degree started out in nursing. I did not expect to be a recruiter. I love it.
That's a whole
not where I expected to be at all. Yeah.
Retail to nursing and then recruiting. But actually, if you think about it, the skills you need in these industries are kind of similar. I mean, you're talking to new people who require or need something from you. If you're a nurse, they require assistance. If you're a recruiter, they require advice. Mm-hmm. If you are in retail, they require, I guess, clothes or items. But yeah, if you think about it, all of these skills add up. So with this recruiting agency that you were working with, how did COVID-19 change you guys' experience of it?
It changed it a lot. So before COVID, I had basically no experience working remotely, just a couple days here and there if I needed to be home. I have two daughters. So if I needed to be home, but still needed to be available for work, that was it with the remote experience. And so when COVID hit, I was working full time, overnight at my kitchen table. And it was a huge culture shock for me. I love the chatter of the office and being able to easily talk to people and have that fun, just fast paced environment. And then just sitting at my kitchen table with my child screaming in the background when I'm on the phone, was not, not
was
ideal.
Not the optimum.
No, it was very stressful.
I can imagine.
But I found that
is communicating with a lot of people stuck in a kitchen table, surrounded by children. Oh yeah. Nightmare.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. But now after a year settled in more, I actually love it. And I feel like I am able to talk to more people because everything is virtual. We would not be able to talk, normally. I mean, I guess we could, but everybody's more open to everything virtual these days. And so I'm able to reach more people that way.
That is so interesting, because a lot of companies have at least said that, going virtual makes it difficult to get clients. You know, everybody's busy. You're not having that face-to-face interaction. But you bring up the point that, hey, it's actually allowed you to meet more people. Why do you think that's the case?
I think people these days are striving to, they really want to interact and speak with people and see people outside of their home.
So they're just talk to a recruiter. Is that what you're saying, Valerie?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, I found that before COVID hit, I've never like FaceTimed with a client. You know, I would FaceTime with candidates if needed, if they couldn't come into the office. But now, FaceTime, you know, Microsoft Teams, Zoom, those are my main ways of communication. Or like I'll even do like live videos on social media sites. And I find that I have a lot more interaction because, you know, people like seeing a friendly face. And so like, I've never been on video calls more in my life. And I actually really love it because then there's no commute time between going to different people. True. So I find that I actually see more faces a day than I did before.
Then you would have, yeah, if you're working in person. Interesting. Okay. So with the candidates you source, could you tell us a bit more about what candidates to usually source? Is there a specialization which Robert Half has?
Yeah. So Robert Half specializes in a lot of different areas, but I specifically do finance and accounting. And so I hire anybody from like a bookkeeper position up to a CFO level position and everything in between. And so I meet with a lot of different backgrounds and experiences every single day. Just when it comes down to finance and accounting, that's where my specialty lies.
Oh, okay. So with this huge range of people who you deal with, from bookkeepers to CFOs, have you seen an increase or decrease in a specific segment?
Right now, you know, it kind of goes in waves. But right now I'm seeing a lot more on the higher end side of that. The bookkeeper, I pick back up, but I'm seeing more of it with the like accounting managers, controllers, and CFOs, where those are there's more jobs there and there's more people looking, and you know, not everybody feels comfortable moving positions right now. And I think maybe those people at the salary ranges that they're at have more of a comfortability level to switch jobs right now.
I understand. So with huge layoffs as well, how has that changed the number of interactions you guys as recruiters face every day? Like, are people looking for jobs, or is it more of a, what do you call, hearsay?
You know, it's actually interesting because a lot of people who have lost their jobs are making more on unemployment than they were in their jobs. And so I have, which is like a really weird place to be, because there's, you know, more people unemployed than there have been in years. And I have a ton of companies that are looking to hire, but I'm finding that, you know, it's still a candidate's market where the candidates kind of drive the salary. Have that choice because they don't have to work because they're, you know, the unemployment is paying them really well.
Exactly. Yeah, but that also, how would you say this would impact or look in the future, let's say 6 months or a year? A year has already passed. I feel like it's going to be a huge impact on the government.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And I think people that are comfortable on the unemployment are going to be left behind because they may be getting a paycheck every day that's covering their bills. But there are people who are out there looking at positions and, you know, willing to work, even though it maybe makes the same as their unemployment. But their career path is, you know, going to be progressing, whereas somebody who's sitting on unemployment and not necessarily motivated to find a position, their career path is at a standstill. And I think when it comes down to it, you know, everybody understands there were a lot of layoffs when it came to COVID, and that was not in anybody's control. But I think if you don't have a very good reason for not getting back into the job market, I think that can hinder somebody's career, you know, down the line.
Okay, so for a person who was laid off, and who's trying to find a job, but for some reason, you know, it's not working out, the pay isn't worth it. They are slightly incentivized by the unemployment benefits to stay home. What advice would you give to them as a recruiter? How should they spend these next 6 months or a year or two?
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, there's different reasons for everybody to not want to get back into the job market. I understand there's like a health concern, you know, if you're mm-hmm. high risk and, or maybe you have kids that are doing e-learning and like, how do you go to a job? And like, yeah. you know, there's a lot of things going on. but I think the best thing that people can do if they are on unemployment is to continue growing their skills. And you don't necessarily need to spend money to do that. You know, you can look on YouTube, you can find free trainings, you can get books from your library just to progress your skills, to make sure that your skills are staying, you know, front of mind, and that when you do get back into the job market, you have an answer when they say like, what have you been doing this past year? And you're like, oh, perfect. I've been learning this. I've been doing this. I've been e-learning my kids and I had a health concern. So I didn't want to get back into the job market, but I have all these new skills that are fresh. And I think that would be a really strong re-entry back into a position.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like a lot of people I hear are going into tech if they haven't already had an experience in it. So a lot of people are sitting at home and they're thinking, why don't I learn programming? Why don't I learn some kind of technology which would help me when in 6 months or a year I would be able to apply for a job as a software engineer, or maybe as a manager who has some knowledge about technology advancements. What has your experience been around people who do this? Like, are they actually doing it? How much would you say they're doing it?
I have only met maybe a handful of people who are doing this. And I would say that most of them that I've spoken with that are doing this are searching for a good position, not looking to make, you know, to jump into any position, but searching for a really good next career step. And while they're unemployed, they're doing all of these things. And I find, you know, they are entering the market and entering into a position that is much higher, you know, the salary is better, or the opportunity is better, the title is better than when they were laid off. And so it's really making a helping their career jump by learning skills while you're looking for your next position.
Perfect. But let's change gears a bit. One of our followers wanted to know a bit more about why should they choose, or why should they go after a recruiting agency versus just leveraging their network or school alumnus, their networks, rather than going to recruiting agency. And I wanted your take as a professional recruiter. What value does a recruiting agency bring?
So I mean, I'm a little biased, but I think we bring lot of value. You know, if you're working full-time or you're doing e-learning and learning new skills, looking for a new career is like a full-time job in itself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what I offer my candidates is tell me exactly what you're looking for. We'll go through all of your skills and I will search on your behalf. And so then I only bring positions that I know match my candidate's salary requirements, their location requirements, whether it's like the commute they're looking for, or it's a remote position, and like the work-life balance. And then also that they match what the client is looking for. So I'm not wasting anybody's time. It really narrows down on all the noise that you would find on job boards. And then also when it comes down to, you know, it's Women's Month this month. And so yes. I don't know when you're going to be posting this, but, you know, one thing that contributes to the wage gap is that women especially don't don't negotiate their worth because they're, you know, I'm not speaking for everybody, but typically it's because they're afraid, where men, they ask for what they want and they'll negotiate until there's like some even ground met. And so a recruiter can do the recruiter can do the negotiating for you. So like if I am working with a candidate and I know that this is their minimum salary requirement, but this is what they would really like to have, I'm going to fight for them because it not only like, yes, I get paid a commission based on the salary I get them, but like, I don't want to ever undersell somebody going into their next career because, you know, we're trying to eliminate the wage gap. And so if you are not someone who likes to negotiate, using a recruiter is really helpful in that aspect because they, if they're not negotiating for you, they're not doing you any justice. Every recruiter should be negotiating for you.
Yes, definitely.
And so I think that's like probably the biggest thing that could really help people. And then also, you know, I have access to a lot of, I have a huge network of people who may not even be hiring today, but you know, I reach out on my candidate's behalf all the time. Like, do you have a position coming up that this candidate would be a fit for? And I'm able to move people into positions before they're even posted online. Or maybe it's a confidential position. They're replacing somebody who's not working out. And so there's a lot of really good benefits to working with a recruiter, especially if you are, you know, busy in your day-to-day life and don't have time to do all of that.
Yeah, especially because I heard somewhere that say, 20% of the jobs are actually posted. 60% of the jobs come through networking and stuff. And from those 60%, a lot of the jobs are actually, they're never posted. Like they're never like on the company's website or the job board. It's just an internal thing, which a manager or colleagues decide and have in mind. And they just refer whoever they think would be an appropriate fit. In this case, if they have been working alongside a recruiter, the recruiter would have an idea of, okay, this company or this department requires somebody with this set of skills. So, okay, I understand. Okay, makes sense. Well, it's been lovely talking to you. Do you have any other advice based on International Women's Day, based on any other recruiting advice you want to give to our listeners? Floor is yours. No pressure.
Always ask what you're worth. Always ask for what you're worth. Never, like, if you don't ask, I think this is a Madonna quote, very loosely, but like, if you don't ask for what you want, the answer will always be no. So always ask for what you want. And always be expanding your knowledge and your network, I think are like probably the two things that apply to literally everybody, no matter what you do, what your goals are in life. Always expand your knowledge and expand your network.
Well, thank you so much, Valerie. This has been great. We are Gabers Podcast, Founders Grit. Thank you for listening.